leaving the house. But what do you got for us, sister?
448.
448. I was right. I was on 448. All right, if you would, stand with me tonight. And we're going to sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee. This is a good one, sister. Good pick. You had me there. 440 walk, just a closer walk.
Uh-huh.
448, just a closer walk with thee. It's good to be with you tonight, and thankful that you've made the effort to come out. That's just kind of the way my day's been today. You get things together, then they break back apart, but the Lord seems to get them back together. So we're thankful for that. Do we have any, if you're watching by Facebook or by radio tonight, we're thankful that you've come out to be with us, and we pray that you'll be blessed, if nothing else, encouraged, and move to action tonight as we go through our Bible study. But if you do have any prayer needs or praise reports, please let us know, and we want to join with you in them. We ask you to be praying for our backyard Bible study that's going on over at Thomas Village there. Pray that God just bless it, and if nothing else, that people will be encouraged and loved on in Jesus' name. Tonight will be, again, a Bible study, Biblical Ways to Resolve Conflict is going to be our study. It's going to be a two Wednesday night study. Our kick scripture, or basically beginning scripture, is going to be James chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And tonight we'll begin by trying just to define what conflict is. I mean, what is it? Where does it arise from? And so, but before we do that, we want to have a time of prayer and praise. But we do want to remember that there's many that are still traveling. I think Brother Otis and them have yet to make it home. My wife and son will be traveling after service tonight. And then also on top of all that, there are those. I was blessed to be able to see Brother Sister Carol yesterday and be able to talk with her and her sister at the one was at Henry's. I was getting a big old watermelon there. And then the other was at the grocery store yesterday. And just want to continue to pray for them after Miss Moni has gone on to be with our Lord and Savior. So do we have any other words of praise tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. And I know that your grandboy Aiden ain't feeling the best right now, but how was the come through the surgery? Everything looked well procedure-wise?
It took a little longer than I thought. It was not as simple as the first time it was going to be. And it was kind of a doubling thing.
Had he tore anything in there?
Yeah.
That ain't no fun when that hit. More than one of them? I tell you. Gotcha.
It
is.
I imagine.
Praise the Lord. He's through it now. I'm praying just for mending everything to go well there. Oh, I imagine. Anything that has to do with your youngin' is going to cause more stress and tension on you in every aspect, every area. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Learning how to function in a new world is a whole... Well, God's grace is sufficient. That's it, just new normals. That's what I'm beginning to realize. And I'm not nowhere near where y'all have been through. But praise the Lord that He'll get us through it. I was talking, and thank the Lord I was able to talk with an older mentor of mine out of Sevierville today. Brother Larry Nickel, he's down in South Georgia when I got to talk to him, and he said he's ready to get back up here to these mountains. He's doing a revival down there, and he says it's hot up there. He said, but it's the humidity that gets us. But that's what he was talking about, is that it's just new normals. That's what happens in your life. When the big issues come, when the big, you know, losses and storms hit your life, you just, once you're through those, it's a new normal, and you have to learn how to just progress as life changes, you know. So, but we're thankful that God will carry us through, or He'll carry us home, one or the other. That's the promises He's made to us. Any other praise reports tonight, or how about prayer needs? We do want to continue to pray for those that are dealing with loss and struggling there, but also we know that there's the new babies that's come in. We want to continue to pray for the parents. It was good to see Brother Jared and Sister Ashley together Sunday with as they got back from vacation, but also tonight where there's just a special prayer need for one of our families that's dealing with some issues, a younger family, and not able to put out much detail tonight, but just remember them. And it's got to do with physical needs in the family, but pray for them, and I'm sure there'll be more coming out there. And then do remember also, as we get ready to go into our summer, we're in the middle of it right now, but that's one of those seasons that can be discouraging to your pastor and to your deacons as people are traveling and going and coming. But let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall see a reward. And I do think we're on a good standing right now. I think we're in a place where God's trying to grow us. It may not be in the necessarily the numbers region where we're just going to blow up, but I believe in maturity level. As a body of Christ, I think we're at a place where God is beginning to allow us to mature and to grow past some superficial things, you know, and what it don't have to be about always numbers or what we see, but it's about His will and His purpose for our lives and for our church. Any other prayer needs tonight? Maddie's got her pre-op tomorrow for her surgery. That's planned for the 13th next week, and if all goes well, that'll be tomorrow. But just pray that God give us wisdom on the right place, the right time, and the right person to perform her surgery. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We will do that. And, you know, getting to a point where you realize you got an issue is a big deal. When you can admit that I can't control this or that it's controlling me, you're coming to a point where you can have some help. Anyone else tonight? Sabrina? We will, brother. And I just want to say thank you to Brother Keith, that he gave my boy a guitar, and it's not that my boy didn't have a guitar, but he didn't have one as nice as he's been given, and he's been praying that thing around the house a little bit more, and maybe not even around the house. I think he might be going around town performing concerts, many concerts with it, where he goes, hey, he was given an amp with it too, so I mean, he can do whatever. Anyone else tonight? All right, Brother Keith, if you would lift up the needs that we have tonight, also the praises, and just invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, brother. Biblical conflict resolution. James chapter 4, the kind of the key scriptures that we're going to look at tonight will be verses 1 and 2 of James chapter 4. But I'm also going to read the other two verses, and then we'll also, I'm going to read it out of the English Standard. I'm going to read it out of the King James first, and then out of the English Standard as we discuss conflict resolution in biblical ways, or biblical ways of conflict resolution. Are you in James chapter 4, verse 1? All righty. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust that war against your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. And it goes on. Hold on just a second. Let me flip my page. They're sticking together. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, or it is against with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now let's read it again, verses 1 and 2 out of James chapter 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and do not obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And then we see as we read on there that it tells us that the reason we don't have is because when we do ask, we're asking with your own motive. We're asking not that the Lord be glorified in it, not so that He receive glory, but we ask so that we can satisfy our flesh, so that we'll be happy, so that we make our request instead of what does the Bible say? That the Lord would give us the desires of our hearts as the desires of our hearts are in line with His will. Amen. But we want Him to give to us simply because it's what we want, so it'll make our flesh happy. That is why we don't receive the things that we request. But the specific idea tonight is in the King James. Now notice it says wars and fightings, or wars and battles is the idea there. I mean, it's almost to an idea of just straight, sure enough, warfare. You know, I mean, that it is like when you see country against country, and you see them whip out the great weapons of conflict, the bombs and the soldiers and the horses and the chariots. I mean, it's just this vast, big, just full-out battle being waged there. Now, we don't look upon that like when we have conflict with somebody else. When we disagree with one another, we don't think about this. But this is directly what's being talked about right here. Remember, James is talking to the dispersed church. He's talking to the group of believers here. So, when we read over in the book or in the ESV, where it called it not just simply wars and conflicts, but notice it calls it quarrels and fights among you. Now, if you look up the word conflict, synonyms for the word conflict, they're words such as fight, battle, war, drama. But listen to this, quarrels, strife. Those are King James words right there. The quarrels, the strife, the drama that's there. And whether it be in our personal life, whether it be in our social life, our family life, with our friends, in our work life, we're going to have those conflicts of interest, those differences of opinions that come up. And so as we try to think about those things, and we want to be Christian in the manner that we handle those conflicts. Here, listen to the definition, or in the what conflict is defined as, or a war, or the quarrels, or the strifes. It's the King, not the King James, but the Merriam-Webster says it is a competitive or opposing action, an antagonistic state or action as a divergent of ideas, interests, or persons. It's a mental struggle resulting from incompatible or opposing needs or wishes. It's the opposition of persons. Basically, what you have is if an individual or a party, you have one side that believes a certain way, which causes them to do or want something done that is in complete opposition to the other party, group, or individual that believe another way, and they think the actions that should be done is this, and they are in direct conflict with one another, or their opposition with one another. A working definition of conflict would be this: the differences of opinion between two parties, which results in a incompatibility to agree with one another, and that causes tension between the two. A difference of opinion which causes an incompatibility, meaning that they can't be together, and that causes tension between the two. So you've got a difference of opinion that causes a disagreement, and because of that disagreement, then there is tension. Why do we have these things? As a pastor and slash counselor, I've come to realize that most conflicts, and the deacons, well, we're growing in this as we try to deal with and to learn how to deal with it, is that most conflicts, whether they be big issues or whether they be small issues, another word for conflict, drama. Drama, because think about it, that's what drama is. You have this individual in a play and he believes or wants one way, and then you've got another individual or an actor in the play and they want something, and their conflict or their difference of opinion is what the whole play is about, isn't it? And so there's the drama there. But I believe that there's four basic things that cause conflict or result in conflict. The first one is this, a miscommunication. The first thing is a miscommunication. Now, what is miscommunication? Miscommunication is a failure to communicate adequately. It's not getting your idea across to the listener. Think about it. It is a failure on my part to present to you what I have on my mind. Now, I might think that I am getting across to you what I believe and what I want to happen, but if I am not certain that I'm getting it across, you could perceive it in any way. I've noticed this with my wife. I can say one thing, and I think that I'm being clear and present in what I'm saying. I'm going to do X, and I'm going to do Y, and once I put X and Y together, it's going to result in this thing. But yet later on, she can come back and tell me what I said, and what she says is nothing what I tried to get across to her. You see, there is a miscommunication. I'm not doing enough to make sure she understands where I'm coming from. But then there is a misunderstood message. Now, this is kind of the opposite of it. A failure, this is when the listener hears what the speaker is saying, but they come away with a completely idea that's nothing like what I intended. You get what I'm saying? That I say something to them, and I'm doing my best to them, but yet when they walk away, they have a complete misunderstanding of what it is. What's the difference? The first one is I should have at the end said, hey, when I'm talking about a miscommunication, when I've said my piece to you and I've tried to get my part across to you, then I should say, now tell me what I just said or what is the idea that I have. And if you don't have it right, then that's a miscommunication on my part. I didn't get the point across to you. But a misunderstanding is when I put the thing over to you, you ought to ask me and say, so this is what you're saying, this is what you're trying to get across, this is what you mean is going to happen. But you see how there can be a completely miss, us bypassing each other, even though we've had some type of communication? Then there is poor listening skills, and this is it. Poor listening skills, research shows this, listen to this, 25% of what I say to you, out of 100% of what I say to you, only 25% of it is what you're going to receive. You hear that? Out of everything that I say to you, only 25% of it is going to be received. That means that 75% of what comes out of my mouth is going to just be poof out there in the wind. Now, why is that? The main reason is this, that three quarters of that what we say never heard by the individual? Most of it is because after I get 25% out, or after you get 25% out of what you're saying to me, I'm spending the other 75% of the time on how I'm going to respond to you. Instead of me listening and let you receive and taking in everything that you're saying to me, what I'm doing is I'm getting ready to say something back to you. The average person, when they speak to you, I heard this the other day, after 18 seconds, that's all the time that we really listen to someone else. When they speak for 18 seconds, then we're already back engaged in the conversation to them. You see that we're more focused on responding and speaking than we are receiving the message that is presented. So then, where do conflicts come from? Where do they get? Well, they come from the wars and the fightings, our own lust inside of us. But how do we get to them is because there's miscommunications, there's misunderstanding the message, there's poor listening skills, and then last, there's personal opinion. Personal opinion is that we have a view or belief that's founded on what we feel, what we think and the opinions we have. Our subjective opinion, meaning that it's based on feelings and opinions and judgment. It's not objective, meaning that it's outside of our feelings, our passions, and all that. We would rather see things our way than we would to allow for it to be seen in some other way. So think about this. Think about the issues you've had with other people. Think about the conflicts you've had with your business partners. Think about the conflicts you've had with your spouse. Think about maybe inside the church. Were they really basically based on the topic? I mean, whatever it might have been. Or was it because you misunderstood? Was it because you wasn't willing to listen? Or maybe it was because you already had your opinion made up, your mind made up, and you wasn't going to give off of that. So see, now, let's go back. The Bible says that the conflicts or the wars in which we engage in, they come from where? It says they come from hence, not from hence, from the lust within your members. Meaning that us as human beings, that we have desires inside of us, and from those desires, we engage in conflict with other people because we want to have it our way. So think about this. The first step in conflict resolution would be a personal time of questions. Is there ever any time that you've entered into a disagreement with someone and been willing to say, am I in the wrong? Am I demanding on my own way without listening to others? Because the Bible tells us that that's usually going to be the problem right there, isn't it? Am I in the wrong? James says, hey, why are you fighting with one another? Why are you waging in battle with one another? Is it because you want to have things your own way and you're not willing to let others have their way? I mean, think about it. If we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, what do we see? We see that sin and pride in our lives has a way of twisting and distorting our personal perceptions and opinion. Sin and pride in our life can make us think that we're right when we're totally in the wrong. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, now the serpent was more craftier than any other beast in the field and that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say you should not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the woman said to the serpent, will you not surely die? For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. So then the woman said, saw the tree, and saw that it was good for food, and that it was delightful to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So she took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Now notice what happened. Pride and sin in her life, the sin of pride, got her to a point to where her perceptive and her opinion was completely the opposite of that of God, but yet it was right in her own eyes. And how many times when conflict and issues arise in our life can we say, thus saith the Lord? Now, if we can say, thus saith the Lord on that situation there, then we stand on that situation, right? We stand on that opinion because God, we're standing with God. But if we're not standing with God, if we don't have a scriptural precept or a background to stand upon, then we need to at least be able to look at our own self and question why we are being so dogmatic on this issue. Right? I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm just saying, will you at least question that if you're right or if you're wrong? Not only that, but look, I mean, not just in the first, and this is all through Scripture. I mean, we can see this all through Scripture. What about Cain and Abel? Remember with Cain and Abel? A distortment of the opinions in his eyes. Jump to Genesis chapter 4, beginning of verse 2. And again, Eve gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought forth the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but not Cain. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and fell on his face. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry And why has your face fallen? If you do well, you will be accepted. You will not be. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. But what happened right there? His opinion overruled what God had said. And what did he do? He did his own way. He did what was right in his own eyes. And that's what we see happening all through Scripture, that man does right in their own eyes. But what happened? The sin of pride changed his perspective, and he saw things his way instead of God's way, and he wasn't willing to give up on that stance. All the way over into the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, Paul tells us this, one of our greatest instructors, warns one of the churches of the Bible. Galatians 5, 25 and 26 again. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You see what he's saying? Let us not do anything in our own self, for our own purposes, for our own wants, but let us do it out of love for one another, out of a love for the Lord. You see, the Bible teaches us that instead of being men of conflict and women of conflict with one another, we're to be the complete opposite of that. We're to seek not to be people of conflict, but to be people of peace. If you look all the way in Psalms chapter 34, verses 13 and following, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue out of it. But see, that's not natural to us. We would rather engage than we would to seek peace. We would rather be like a banty chicken and get our feathers out and be ready to battle than it would to be meek and kindly bow down and to seek the peace. Matthew chapter 5, where we're doing the Thus Saith the Lord, the Sermon on the Mount that we're doing, the study through. Remember what he says as he describes what in the Beatitudes, what the kingdom of God is, and thus what the people of his kingdom are to be. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons or the children of God. And then even Paul again in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see that we're to be known as peacemakers, not conflict seekers, but those that are makers of peace. And that's, you know, when we talk about peace, the idea there is unity, oneness, completeness and soundness. In the Old Testament, you know, the word was shalom is the word. And it means to be in harmony or accord with one another. One who seeks the good of his fellow citizen above his own. It may mean material possessions or it might mean physical safety. But it also represents the spiritual well-being. That's what they're praying for. When you see peace in the Old Testament and you read peace, the word shalom, it is talking about the spiritual, the physical, the overall harmony of the individual. But then in the New Testament, I think the word is eirene. And it carries the same idea that it carries in the New Old Testament, the shalom. But it also carries more, because if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Titus chapter 1, verse 4, and 2 John verse 3, the peace is always tied to the grace and the mercy of God. When Paul would say, I greet you in the peace and mercy of God and grace of God be upon you, it is that wholeness, not just of the unity and the harmony, but it's the idea of that fullness and completeness of God's whole gift of salvation that only the Holy Spirit can bring. So when we think about conflict in the eyes compared to being people of peace, everywhere, whether it be in the job, whether it be in the home, whether it be in our religious format, we're always seeking that fullness of God being involved, that whoever it is that we might be at odds with, it's about more than just us getting our way or us getting our point. It's about the wholeness of God's peace coming into their life. So the first thing in biblical conflict, as we think about the wars and the fightings that come amongst us, the first step would be a personal question. Am I the problem here? Am I the one seeking the conflict? Am I the one that's building on this conflict? Or am I simply just doing my best to do what God wants me to do and to be where He wants me to be at? And the second thing would be a personal coming together. A personal coming together. I've said this before about a relationship with the Lord. The Lord knows when you're mad at Him. The Lord knows when you're not happy with Him and where He's at. So you might as well just go ahead and admit to Him, because you're not going to be able to work it out as long as you're denying the fact. Personal counselors call it the connection, where you bring this group and that group or the separate parties together. And it's where the path of conflict, of healing, has to come together. It's the idea of this. If we're going to catch the ball, if we're going to catch the same ball, we're going to have to be on the same field, right? Now, Brother Jimmy might be on one end catching that ball, and I might be on the other end catching that ball, and that means Brother Jimmy's going to see it happening one way, and I'm going to see it happen another way, but at least we're going to be on the same field trying to catch the same ball, right? And listen to what the Bible tells us about conflict resolution. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, what do? You leave your gift there before the altar and go. Where do you go to? First, be reconciled with your brother and come to get, and then come and offer your gift. Now, you notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say text your brother, does he? He doesn't say give a phone call to your sister. What does he say? Go to him. I'm telling you, I believe for there to be true conflict resolution, there has to be a one-on-one coming under the same roof, standing on the same ground with one another, and being able to look at one another and have a conversation. Don't mean you've got to be happy with one another in the moment. Doesn't mean you got to agree with one another at the moment. But it means you've got to be at least in the same area. And once you're in the same area, then guess what? God can do something with you in that individual. At least you're willing to, you're in a place where, hey, I may not agree with you on this, I may not agree with you on that, but I can agree with you that we need to be in the same area right now. We need to be able to have a conversation. We need to be able to talk. This isn't the only place. Jump over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, look in verse 15. Now, again, I believe this is biblical ways to resolve conflict. The first thing is we've got to understand where the conflict comes from, right? That it's either me or it's either them, and we're fighting with the issue of something that we desire personally. It's not just about this. We've got to recognize that it's more than just a difference of opinion here. Then the next thing is the coming together. We see that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, it says, hey, come together. If you've got a gift and you realize that there's something between you and a brother or sister in Christ, then you need to go reconcile, get together. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, are you there? If your brother sins against you, go tell it to him. Go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, then you've gained your brother. And then it goes on to say this. But again, what does it say? It means to have a personal coming together. Get together with the individual that the problem is. Not somebody else, not this one. Now, it does say later on, maybe you might need to bring somebody in there. But there has to be that time of personal coming together. So we've got a time of personal questioning. And then we've got a time of personal coming together. What do you do when you come together? What are you going to say with one another? Well, how about this? Maybe that you need to just sit down and just get familiar with one another again. Maybe not even the topic. Maybe just say, how's your family been? I've not talked with you in a while. You know what? We've let this difference of opinion, we've let this conflict come up. And you know what? We had something bigger than that. Or the relationship we have needs to be bigger than this situation that we have. So let's just talk about where are you at, where am I at, and all that. You know what? Usually what will happen is God will allow that to bleed over into something else. But then maybe you need to clearly state your thoughts and your feelings. Maybe, remember, we talked about lack of communication, lack of hearing, lack of, and then personal opinion. Just say, I just want to make sure you know where I'm coming from. It's not got any, how many of us have ever said, but I'm not here to hurt your feelings, right? Make that clear. Say, this is not about you or me. This is just where I see the situation, and this is where I'm coming from. Then maybe be supportive. Like in a way, what is hindering us from being on the same page? What is getting, because I want to get it out of the way, and I'm willing to work with you with whatever it is you feel or I feel like is getting in the way right now. Let's come together and just get that out the way, okay? And then maybe the idea of, will you work with me? Are you willing to work with me? I'm not saying we're going to solve this problem overnight, but I'm willing to do my best to give where I need to give. If you're willing to give where you can give at, and that we'll work together and come to a resolution, because I'm not going to let this keep us from coming together as whatever, sister, friend, whatever. Now, and then next week, what is going to be, we'll stop right here, but next week we're going to begin with, there's three more, is personal assessment. Where is it that I'm being too stubborn? You know, I mean, we're going to have to look and say, is this based on Scripture, or is this just based on what makes me feel better and what makes me like it better and what would be more to my opinion? You know, if it's opinion, then maybe we could lay off of that a little bit. But I tell you what, the devil does his best to bring conflict in our lives, in every area, because you know what that was? Conflict causes confusion where we can't focus on what really matters the most. And if we learn how to deal with conflict, it's never going to be easy. Amen? Conflict is never going to be easy, because I want to go along to get along. You know what I mean? If there's anything I can do to make it easier, then I'll do it. But praise God, we have to stand up for things sometimes. But we also need to be willing to give sometimes as well. And as long as it's not against thus saith the Lord, praise God, we should be willing to. All right, any thoughts before we close out tonight? Y'all get out of here early. I'm doing better about that on Wednesday nights. I can get y'all out of here. Any praise or prayer tonight? Do be praying for our playground as we get our new playground established and everything out there. I'm thankful for everybody that's working with it. And then continue to pray for my mom and dad down in Georgia. And then also, like I said, brother, there's a revival going on right by where I used to pastor at. That's where Brother Larry Nickel is at. And so pray. He was preaching on a strange church tonight. There needs to be a strange church right now in the eyes of the world. It needs to be a strange church. Anything else before we close out? All right, Brother Frank, would you close us out tonight?